The other day I came across a curious article in Forbes. There they mentioned that the number of people holding a PhD has increased by 33% from the year 2000 to 2020.
What? That much?
Yeah, I was surprised as well. And being a PhD student myself and knowing all the trials and tribulations that come with it, I just started to think, what even attracts people, like so many people, to pursue this degree? And I think it's now a perfect chance for us to find out.
The science basement.
Hello, and welcome to the Science Basement Podcast, a podcast for those who love all things science. I'm your host for today, Anastasia, joined by a lovely co-host, Katya, and a special guest and a fellow Science Basement member, Laura. Hello, both, and how are you doing?
Yeah, great, thanks. I'm really looking forward to today's conversation.
Woo, Laura, welcome. I think it's your first episode here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my first time recording a podcast, so I'm very excited.
Well, maybe you could introduce yourself a little bit for the listeners who don't know you yet.
Yes, sure. So I'm a second year PhD student at the University of Helsinki, Faculty of Pharmacy. And I'm also part of the Science Basement social media team. And I also have my own Instagram account where I tell about my PhD journey, all the ups and downs of it.
That's super relevant for today's episode. I mean, it's not a coincidence. That's why we asked you to come. Breaking the intrigue here. Yeah, it's quite curious because we're basically three of us PhD students from three stages of the PhD. So Laura is the beginning stage. Then Katya, which year are you at?
No, I think I'm the beginner.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm confusing things now.
No worries. But I think that's really cool, and I think that's one of the strengths, or let's see how the conversation goes, but I think that'll be really cool for this conversation is that like we have different stages. Like I'm at the beginning, like in my first year. And Laura, which year were you actually? Second year, you said.
Second year, I'm like starting my third year now. Somewhere in between, I think.
Well, then I'm like 4 years, should be graduating soon, but let's see how that goes.
You're representing our.
Yeah, burnt out PhD student. Nice to meet you.
Oh Oh no. We'll get to hear from all stages today.
Before we jump into the topic, I just wanted to say a couple of words about the format of our episode. It's a bit more experimental this time. We asked our listeners to submit their short audio responses, telling us about their PhD stories, from what motivated them to start, what makes it hard, and what helps them to keep on going. We won't be playing everything, but you will hear some of the responses during the episode. And of course, a big thank you to those lovely people who did share their stories with us. To start out, why did you start the PhD? Why did you decide to enter this long path? Well, maybe we'll start with Laura.
Yeah, sure. So actually, I had never planned of doing a PhD. When I was doing my master's thesis, I was kind of tired of academia and I thought I'm simply not smart enough. But then I did my master's thesis in Uppsala University and I actually really enjoyed doing that. And then I realized I might enjoy doing research. And when I finished my master's thesis, my Finnish supervisor asked me if I wanted to join their team and do a PhD with them. So then I started asking around some of my friends who were already doing a PhD. And well, I had no other plans, so I just decided to try it.
And actually, you're not the first one who mentioned that like not smart enough thing. And one of the submissions that we got for this episode, yeah, one person actually mentioned a very similar thing that we will listen to now.
We grow up in academia, on universities where you do your master's and your bachelor's. There you see professors and you're surrounded by this academic environment where everybody implies or tells you, maybe also your parents, that okay, the smart people become PhDs. But no, I know so many smart people outside of academia who did not get it and actually pursued their careers in a different way, and they're doing great, and they do not need a PhD, and it is a possibility that you do not need it either.
Yeah, I think that was a really interesting point made by the person who submitted that clip. Thanks so much for submitting, actually, your thoughts on that. And I think having these ideas about not being smart enough is actually really common, and kind of this imposter syndrome. Maybe it's a topic we'll come across in this conversation. So what really resonated with me in that response actually was like also thinking, what are you interested in? And is it something that you need for your future career? And I found, so in school, biology and chemistry were two of my favorite subjects. So I was like, okay, if I want to continue doing these, I might need to do a PhD at some point. But then when I was, you know, after school and in uni, I went to do biology. I was like, okay, what do I want to do after uni? And so many of the jobs that I was interested in did actually need the PhD, or it was very beneficial to have. So I felt that, you know, I enjoy practical work, I enjoy research, and this will actually be useful for me. So why not go ahead and do the PhD? But what about you, Anastasia? Why did you start your PhD?
A bad example. I'll be the contrarian here, I think. Yeah, I mean, originally the why I even came into academia was, of course, because of the interest in biology and all the related topics. But to be honest, when I was deciding whether or not to pursue PhD, it was rather just to buy time. Because when I was graduating school, I wasn't sure what profession I wanted to be. And the same way throughout my bachelor's and master's, I still was unsure on what I wanted to do. So I thought, I mean, after PhD, I can still change into industry if I want to, but I can also see if I enjoy academia and decide to stick and, I don't know, become a PI or something like that. So yeah, maybe not the response people would like to hear, but it's more of a reality. And probably others are on the same boat with me.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And at the end of the day, a PhD is a job, and you have to consider the rest of your life and how your work fits into your life. And you have to be realistic about that.
But what do you guys enjoy the most about your PhD? What do you think is really like something that makes you really happy about what you do?
Well, one of the first things that comes to my mind is the freedom and flexibility. Like, I really can plan my own weeks and days and like what experiments I want to do which day and how long I'm going to work today. So I don't have to work like 9 to 5 each day.
That's true. It in a way spoils you. I actually now find it so hard to imagine that one day I might have to go to a job where I have to clock in. And I don't know how I'm going to manage. My schedule is really all over the place. Is it the same with you, Katya?
Yeah, I think the flexibility is just amazing. And getting to explore topics that are really kind of niche and interesting, I love that as well. But yeah, I have to resonate. Picturing this life of clocking in at a very specific hour and clocking out at another, it seems kind of far away and distant.
And actually, one of the responses also from our submissions, which we'll listen to in a second, is about how PhD teaches us to think.
Generally speaking, I think doing a PhD in pretty much any field teaches you how to think systematically, evidence-based, and be aware of the limitations of your thinking or the information you have and the biases that might come along.
Yeah, I really love this answer because it kind of encapsulates really nicely this idea that as a PhD, you know, researcher, as PhD researchers, our job really is to kind of learn about the world and how things work, which is pretty beautiful, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah, very good points that you bring, Katya. And to me, it's also that what PhD really teaches is a lot of critical thinking. And the biggest lesson that I learned was that the truth is always in the middle, and before drawing any conclusion, you really need to look at different sides and evaluate different arguments. But you know, with all that said, like, we love our PhD, but of course it comes with, it's not all the rainbows and sunshine, and it really has lots of hard things that can quite often discourage, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely pros and cons to this job slash lifestyle, dare I say.
Yes, definitely. I would say one of the downsides is the unpredictability of PhD. Like, no matter how well I plan my weeks, something will always go wrong and I will have to change all my plans. So that's quite annoying.
I think you need to find a zen for that. You know, you when you know that something will go wrong, in a way you're also prepared for it to go wrong, don't you?
Yes, that's true.
It definitely encourages resilience in a way. You're like, I know that something will go wrong, but, you know, it doesn't matter. That's part of my job description.
Yeah. Something that you can easily answer in your resume or like in your interview. How do you deal with stress? Well, I plan. And I find zen.
But yeah, I think that kind of leads into this thing where the flexibility, while being one of the best parts of the PhD, can also be one of the worst parts. And time management and balance really are key skills that you need to keep in check when you're working on your PhD.
Yeah, and also with the time management, it's to me it's so hard to manage sometimes my free time. Because I might be so overwhelmed with many experiments, especially if they're very time sensitive, or if it's I work a lot with mice, so if I have mice that are aging very soon, so there are so many things I need to do in a short time span that you definitely start to sacrifice lots of things outside your work time. It's actually probably a totally separate skill, managing your work and life. And honestly, so far I haven't really found a perfect balance. I don't know, I might learn something from you guys. How do you actually do that? What would be your solutions to finding that precious free time?
Yeah, so I actually have this Excel sheet for all my working hours, so I can easily see if I start to work too much or so on. And I never work during weekends, and I also try to use all my annual leave, so that's really important.
Yep, I think that's really goals. Like, I saw you post that on your Insta page, the PhD stories, and I was like, oh, I need to start doing this. This is perfect.
But how can you not work on the weekends, though?
I think for me, I've drawn like a very strict line for myself that it's like, no work on the weekends. Of course, there's, you know, there are times like I also sometimes have the mice and everything. So then I need to go, you know, the animals dictate the schedule. Or if you have cells, the cells dictate the schedule. But I really try really hard to schedule my work in a way that I don't need to work on the weekend. And it's kind of a decision that I've forced myself to make, because I know that otherwise I will spiral into a burnout zone. Really trying to avoid that.
To me, I would say it probably also really depends like on what type of task I'm doing. Some are very tedious and I'm like, oh, not again. And especially on the weekend, I really don't want to go and like change media to the cells, because there's nothing particularly entertaining about just sitting next to the hood and just doing the routine work that you've been doing maybe 1,000 times before. So in these cases, yeah, I would be very much burdened. But sometimes if the experiment is very valuable and interesting, then I'll be like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this right now. And then I don't care what time of the day it is. I'm just ready to do that task. So maybe a strange answer again. But I'm an outlier now.
But it's good. We're getting a range of data collected here. But I have to say, maintaining that work-life balance really is, or how to do it, really is the million-dollar question in research, because it's so important, you know, to maintain. And it's hard to fine-tune that passion that you have, you know, the balancing that passion you have for the topic. Maybe there are questions that are keeping you up at night that you really want to find answers to, and you're like, oh, I could do this quickly. But at the same time, life is going, you know, going on and continuing, and it's important not to let that pass by you, to make sure that you keep your loved ones and people in the forefront of your life as well.
Yeah. Have you ever felt very too burdened by your PhD? Like, have you ever felt like, oh, I'm done with this all? No? Am I the only one again?
I think there's a we've all been there. We've all been there.
So what kind of made you pull yourself together and move on in a way?
I think it's important to remember that PhD is such an emotional roller coaster. And even though you might feel anxious and stressed, better days will come and there's still all those things that you love about your PhD.
All the things you love, see above. The above mentioned ones.
Exactly. But I think that's such a good point. Like, the better days will come. And there's always, I think something that I'm really trying to focus on as well is celebrating the small wins. You know, every win is a win, no matter how small. You know, you don't just have to celebrate when you get your paper published. You know, I think just getting the first draft done, you know, submitting it. Like, these are all big steps at the end of the day. And I think it's worth paying mind to those and celebrating them.
So I guess in my case, remembering the end goal is something that really helps me to move forward. When I remember what I'm actually doing this for, it's a career or interest for others, anything. So just to know that it's not all in vain, that really, really helps. And actually, similar thing was mentioned by one of our listeners, and with the example of his paramedics background.
I started my PhD around 2 years ago on paramedic psychological resilience and perceptions of EMS work and how that relates to well-being. So the reason I started was actually, it was a natural continuation from my second master's degree. And it felt like I had a subject that I wanted to dig a little deeper into. And also, it felt like there's not a lot of paramedic backgrounded people in our country with PhDs. So you really did have that chance to pave your way and pave that science ahead. And also enable coming up and coming researchers to do that. So that's also one of the motivational factors for what kind of keeps me going. And it also ties very neatly into my main work as an educator, educating paramedics so that you can actually see how your work as a researcher and as an educator can go pretty much hand in hand.
Okay, now actually that I re-listened this, I think what really attracted me also with this response is the point that it advanced the career of this person, that there was actually growth past the PhD. And many times I think people also feel like it might be the dead end because they feel like they don't want to pursue in academia anymore and they feel like maybe they're not fit for industry. But it's actually never, honestly, the end point. But it helps a lot when you know that past your PhD, there's something to move on towards. And
a quick interruption. We need your help. Love the podcast? Wish the episodes were 10 minutes shorter? Or want to hear more about a particular topic? You can now let us know. Fill out the 5-minute questionnaire found in the episode description to give us your feedback. 5 minutes is all it takes to make your favourite podcast even better. Negative reviews are also welcome. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of your episode.
So I think now that we've been considering our PhD journeys in a way, from what motivated us to get started, what are the best and worst parts, and what actually makes us carry on with them even through hard times, maybe we could offer some advice for those considering starting a PhD. So what's some advice that you guys would give to someone who wants to start a PhD?
I think to me it's probably knowing when to quit. I don't want to be the pessimist here again, but I feel like many people, I mean, I've seen many people reconsider their choices or waiting for so long that they would be burnt out by the end of it. And what I really learned from those experiences is that your mental health and your mental well-being is more important. That if you feel like it's not very satisfying for you, if it's actually affecting you in a very negative way, and if you just changed your mind and decided that actually I don't want to pursue academia, for example, I don't really need PhD, there's nothing wrong in stopping it. it's not embarrassing. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just the reality of life. And you will actually be saving much more time by making this very hard decision.
Time and, importantly, also mental health, as you were pointing out.
Yeah. Laura, what about you? As a person at the middle stage of her PhD.
Yeah, I would say before even starting a PhD, you should really think about why do you want to do it and do you really want to do it or will you need a PhD in the future? Like maybe you're dreaming of a career where you will need a PhD or maybe you just want to be called a doctor.
But here I'd actually throw again the response from one of our listeners.
I would say don't listen to what people tell you. Just because you're smart, you do not have to have a PhD. PhD is a very specific thing that you need for very specific jobs. If you do not want to do those jobs, for example, at universities or research institutes, if you just want to do a nice job where you can still do research, actually, you might not need a PhD. And it, in many cases, maybe even it's for employability, it's better if you do not have a PhD.
Yeah, I guess I'm just going to echo what almost all of us have already said is, but really do your research into what the life of a PhD researcher is like, the ups and downs and all. And, you know, Google, ask people if you know them or reach out to a friendly internet stranger. But make sure, you know, be sensible when you do that. And universities also have these open days and online chats with students and researchers. So I would really recommend going there and maybe trying to pick the brain of someone who's doing a PhD. And if you're still interested, after knowing everything that's involved, and you know, try finding a topic that you're interested in, and because it's a long time that you're going to be immersing yourself in that. So
listen to our spin-off from the Science Basement, where we also cover lots of things related to PhD and academia.
Yes, it's coming out soon.
But speaking of a random person on social media who can give you advice, Laura, aren't you that person? Because from what I know, you are quite active in Instagram, was it?
Yes, on Instagram. So definitely you can slide into my DMs and ask me questions about PhD.
Or just watch your reels and posts.
Yeah. So how about you repeat your social media handle so all our followers can come and find you?
Yes, so you can find me on Instagram with the name Laura's PhD Stories.
Yes, perfect. And we'll put it in the podcast description as well for everyone to find.
Yes. Share, like, and subscribe.
Social media team is on fire.
Yeah. But thank you very much. That was a very lovely episode. Any last words that you'd like for people to remember? I don't know, some inspirational quotes, just throw them out there.
I think for me to condense this whole episode would be that a PhD is a roller coaster, but it's worth it.
Laura, what about you? What are your feelings about the episode as well? Was this part of your work or was this more part of your life activities? In terms of work-life balance, of course.
In terms of work-life balance, I think this is more like my fun activity.
Woo! Okay, well, at least...
We're glad to hear.
It's reassuring to know, yeah. All right. Thank you very much for coming here to the podcast. Thanks to the listeners for tuning in. And have a nice day. Bye.
Bye. The Science Basement.
If you liked this episode, give it a thumbs up, rate it on the podcast app of your choice, and don't forget to share it with your friends. This podcast was produced by The Science Basement, a science communication organization based in Helsinki, Finland. Interested in being involved or interviewed? Get in touch at the podcast@thesciencebasement.org.